today is found in the 21st and the 22nd and also the 23rd and 24th chapters of Genesis. How far I'll get with this, I cannot say. But I left off speaking to you last week how that Abraham had made a great feast when they weaned Isaac. And when Isaac was weaned, we found that Ishmael, the son that was born unto Hagar, he was mocking this little child, Isaac, who was 3 years of age. According to the commentary, Ishmael was about 17 years of age at this time, and he should have known better than to mock such a little child. It seems that probably his mother put him up to this, for they had been expecting to be the heirs of everything that Abraham had, but where this son came into the world, in and through Sarah, he became the legal heir of everything that Abraham possessed. So the heirship of Ishmael fell. And because of this, why they probably were angry, and Hagar put this young man up to mock this little child. And when Sarah saw that this child was being mocked, she became angry and resentful. And she said to Abraham, "Cast out this bondwoman and their child, for that child shall not be heir with my son Isaac." Now this was a grievous thing unto Abraham, for he loved Ishmael just as well as he loved Isaac. And it did not please Abraham to listen to Sarah, because it was a grievous thing for him to send her and this child away. He wouldn't think of it. He was troubled about it. But it pleased God to come to him during the night and reveal unto him that he should listen to Sarah, and he should do everything that Sarah had said unto him, and that he should cast out this bondwoman, and that God would be with this lad, Isaac, but he also would make of Ishmael a great nation. We find then that Abraham arises early the next morning, and he fills a bottle with water, and he gives Hagar a loaf of bread, and he sends her and the child away from this home where they had been enjoying all the comforts of life. Now to me and you, we would say, well, what a meager fare, just to give her a bottle of water and a loaf of bread and send her away. In all probabilities, he was divinely directed by God to do this. For I can't think that Abraham would send his wife and his son out into the wilderness with just something like this. He must have been told by God. And now this woman, Hagar, and her son, they left then. And they went into the wilderness of Paran. Now this was a mercy for Abraham. Abraham was in trouble with his two wives, and he didn't know what to do. But he had a God to go to. And God came to him at night in his trouble and revealed unto him his will and his way in this matter. And therefore Abraham could do this because God had told him to do it. You know, many times, my hearers, we get into trouble too. Have you ever been in trouble? Providentially, afflictions come upon you. Sometimes we get into spiritual troubles. And have you this same God to go to? Has he ever helped you out in trouble? Have you ever called upon him in trouble and found him to be an ever-present aid to you? I am sure if he has, this has endeared him to you. Oh, it says in the Bible, "Cast all thy cares upon him, for he careth for thee." What a mercy if you may believe that God cares for you, that he's your helper, that he'll never leave you sink in your troubles. He didn't let Abraham sink either. He was in trouble. But he came to his house. And now he sent this woman away, this Egyptian woman, into the wilderness. And she wandered in the wilderness. And the water was spent in the bottle, and the bread was gone. And there she was, wandering in this wilderness with her son. And this son, he got sick. And he became very thirsty. And she had no water even to give him to drink. There wasn't any water to be had. And now he got so weak and so feeble that she thought, well, he's sure going to die. So she laid him under some shrubs. And she went and sat quite a ways away from him as a bow shot, it says in the Bible, to watch and to see the end. In all probabilities, she went to sit there too, thinking, well, I'm going to die too. I ain't got any water to drink either. There she sat, despondent. Her son in a dying condition, no hope, no thought whatsoever of that God who had appeared unto her once before. That's odd, isn't it? Once before she had been in the wilderness, she was then pregnant with Ishmael. And God came to her and sent her back to Abraham's house. And then it was such a wonder to this woman, for she said, have I looked to him who hath looked after me? Thou God seest me, she had said at that time. And now here she was in a desperate condition, and she had no thought of that God that seen her. You would say, surely she would have called upon this God. He had promised her then that that child that she had would become a great nation, that they would not be able to count it for multitudes. And now there she laid the child under the shrubs. There she went and sat herself. She was going to die and he was going to die. Don't read that she called to God for help. Don't read that she prayed and reminded God of the promise that he had given her. Nothing of the kind. There she sat. But now that God, he seen her, and he looked down from heaven and he called to her. And he said, Hagar, what aileth thee? Arise, lift up the child. And when she arose and she lifted up the child, there she saw a well in the distance. And she went and she filled the pitcher with water and she gave her son to drink. And he revived. And they dwelt in this wilderness, and he became an archer. And his wife took for him a woman out of Egypt. Of this God in heaven above, he took notice of this poor woman, where she took no notice of him even after experiencing so much from him before already. How good God was to this Hagar, and how that he keeps his word and fulfills his promises. And now, my hearers, this experience of Hagar must become your and my experience in this life. You know, Hagar, she had a good home. She had everything that she needed when she was by Abraham. And now, because she had caused Ishmael to mock Isaac, and they had been very angry and resentful against this young man, hoping that he would die, and therefore, they were cast out of this good home. You and I, my hearers, we were created by God and we dwelt in paradise. We had everything that was necessary for time and eternity. We dwelt in the communion and the fellowship of God. But now, in through sin, we were cast out of paradise. We were sent into the wilderness of this world. And my hearers, this Hagar, she went and sat over against her child, and she was waiting for death. The sentence of death is resting upon each and every one of us. We are doomed to die because of sin. Do you realize it, my hearers? Has it ever taken any effect upon you? Death can come any moment to you and I. It comes to so many people. It came to an elder during the night. It was expected by this elder. But many times it comes so unexpectedly. And it takes young and old. It's the greatest enemy that is in this world. It considers not rich or poor. It considers not whether you have grace or not. This enemy comes and it takes whosoever God has destinated that his life should come to an end. We then are under the sentence of death, doomed to die. And my hearers, has this ever wrought anything in your heart? There sat Hagar and her child, and this is the way you and I are. And what happened to her? That God in heaven above, he looked down upon her. He was gracious to her. And so that God has to look down upon you and me, and he has to be gracious unto us in this our state and condition in which we are in. He came to our help, and he gave unto her the seed, a well of wealth. Have any of you people ever been in a despondent condition? Have you ever been so cast down? Have you ever been brought to that place where there's no hope anymore and you're just waiting to die? Well, you're a sinner and that's all. You're going to sink down under the wrath and under the anger of God forever and ever. And in your misery and in your despondency, thinking there was no hope for you, God opened your eyes and gave you the seed, the well of living water, Christ Jesus. And you were given the seed that in him there was a way of escape for your immortal soul. And he gave unto you to take the pitcher of faith and to come to him and to plead with him. And he gave you a few drops of that living water. Oh, what a wonderful experience this is, my hearers, in this life. For God to be gracious unto any person, irrespective of who she is. This is what took place with Hagar in the wilderness. And this must take place with me and you in the wilderness of this world. And we find that this young man, he was revived, he was spared, and he became an archer, and God was with him. Has God given you to drink of the well of living water? Then God is with you, and God will be with you, and he'll never leave you perish. He will be with you unto the end, and he will carry you through the river of Jordan into that glorious land where there'll never be any more death, where there'll never be any more sorrow. This woman then, she was spared, and she was given to live with her son in the wilderness of Paran. This young man, he also was married and he received children, and they grew into be a great nation. And now we find that Abraham, after these things had taken place, according to the commentary, it was about 25 years later, that Abraham, he was tempted of God. After these things we read, God came unto Abraham and tempted him, and said unto him, take now thy only son Isaac, the son that thou lovest, and take him and offer him up as a burnt offering upon the mount that I shall point out to thee. Take him unto the land of Moriah. This, what God came to Abraham, was something that he never expected. Never. He was getting old, and he never expected that this would take place. He was all set to take it easy for the rest of his life. But it appears many times, my hearers, towards the end of life, that God proves the faith that he has given, and that God likewise brings trials and afflictions upon many of his dear children. This man Abraham then was told by God to take his son and to offer him up as a burnt offering unto God. You would say, how is it possible that God would come with such a demand? My hearers, this man Abraham, he was in a spiritual state where he was made obedient to do what God commanded him to do. It makes a big difference in what state we are in when God comes to us. You know Job, he was tried, and after he was tried, he came forth as gold. God tried him not only to show that he was a good man, but that he was a great man. And now God came to Abraham to try his faith. Now you may say, well, suppose now Abraham had done what God told him to do. Wouldn't he have sinned? No. When God tells us to do something, we do not sin. We do the commandment of God. We are obedient then to him. And now Abraham, he listened to God. You know, faith does not reckon with flesh and blood. It does not reason with the reasonings of man. But faith overcomes all fleshly objections that would arise in our minds and in our hearts. And when God came to Abraham at night with this, that he should take his son and offer him up as a burnt offering, the next morning he rises up early, and he immediately sets to work to go to where God had called him to go. He gathers two of his servants together, he cleaves the wood for the burnt offering, and he prepares to make this journey. He didn't go to Sarah and tell Sarah about this. It's best not to consult anything that would hinder us from doing God's will. We are so prone to consider and to ask other people's advice. But when God comes, we are to obey God and not listen to any voices inside or any voices outside, which we are so prone to do by nature. And now Abraham, he was put to the test. This was now a trial for Abraham to prove to him whether he loved God more than he loved his son Isaac. And now, if you will take notice, this, what he was commanded to do, was something that faith overcame, and that so many objections arose against it. In the first place, this was one of the objects that faith overcame. This was nothing else but murder. What, do I have to take my only son, the one that I love the most, the only one that God gave me, and I am to take him and to kill him and offer him up unto God? This would be nothing else but murder. And what was any closer to Abraham than this son? This was the promised seed. What then would become of the promises that God gave unto Abraham? God had promised that he would make of this seed the multitude greater than all the stars in heaven. His faith then overcame this objection that it would be murder. His faith also overcame that, what would Sarah say? If he went to her and asked her, she sure would have objected. She sure would have never let Abraham go. And now if he did come back and he had offered her, offered his son up, what would he have to say to Sarah? And now this likewise was the only son that he loved, and it was against all natural affection to kill somebody that you love. That's an impossibility, unless you have faith, and that faith so strong that it overcomes all these objections. And this faith overcame all these objections in Abraham. For the next morning he leaves. He goes to the place which God had pointed out to him that he should go. And now when he came to this place, probably God pointed out to him the mountain. And when he was at the foot of this mountain, he said unto his two servants, you remain here. Me and Isaac will go up to worship and to offer up a burnt offering, and we will return unto you. We. This man had faith to believe that even if he killed his son, that God would raise him up again and that he would come back to his servants with Isaac. He believed that God would do this wonder if he had to kill him. And he left these two servants at the foot of this mountain for the simple reason, too, that he didn't want his servants to go along with him. They were deeply affected in love with this Isaac, and suppose he took them with him, they would have hindered him from doing it. And now he went with Isaac only. He took the wood, he took the fire, and Isaac, he says to him, Father, here's the wood, and here's the fire. He says, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? It does not appear that Isaac knew anything about what Abraham was going to do to him. And he says, where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And now we find Abraham speaking prophetically and saying, my son, God will provide a lamb for a burnt offering. Not only did he speak the truth concerning his own case and condition, but he also spoke prophetically about God providing his dear son Jesus as a lamb, as a burnt offering for sinners such as you and I. And now we find that he takes his son Isaac and he goes up the mountain. And when they come up on the top of the mountain, he builds an altar and he lays the wood on this altar. And then he takes Isaac and he binds him. You would say, didn't this young man resist? Didn't he fight against his aged father? Wasn't he much younger than his father? Isaac was just as willing as Abraham was. He gave himself over unto his father. It's God's will, and I submit myself unto God's will and unto my Father's will. And this Isaac, likewise, was very strong in faith. And Isaac was bound by his father. He tied his hands and he bound him to lay him on this altar. A type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who likewise was taken prisoner and was bound by his enemies. And now after he had laid him down on this altar, we can picture Abraham. Suppose you were the man. This was your son. What would you do? He had tied those hands. Those hands probably had been lifted up so many times in prayer. Isaac was a God-fearing young man. Those hands probably had embraced his father many times. He loved his father. And then the father stood over the top of his son. And you may be sure that he had fatherly feelings. Oh, I could picture this man. He bent down and he kissed him. And maybe he gave him another kiss for his wife, Sarah. This was farewell. This was the final for Isaac. And now he put away all his fatherly feelings and all his fatherly thoughts, and he stretched out his hand and he took the knife, and he was ready to give the fatal blow to his son Isaac, looking up with his eyes to God, for God had commanded him to do this. It was God's will. And just as he was going to strike his son Isaac, the angel of the covenant, Christ Jesus, called from heaven unto him and said unto him, Abraham, Abraham, twice his name was called. Oh, Abraham had heard the voice of God many times, my hearers. For this voice had called him out of Ur of the Chaldees. This voice had spoken to him so many times in the land of Canaan. This voice had come to him promising him so many things. This voice must have thrilled through his soul, Abraham, Abraham. lay not thy hand upon the lad. For now I know that thou fearest me, for thou hast not withheld thine only son Isaac from me. O my hearers, God came in the nick of time. It was just at the right time. How wonderful is God, my hearers, in his appearances unto his people. Has he ever come to you at the right time? Just at the nick of time? Just when you needed him the most? In all probabilities, it may have been that you never expected him, and there he came. How wonderful is this God with whom we have to do, who was Abraham's God. Is he your God? Is he your refuge? Do you flee to him? Oh, what a mercy if you have this God on your side, my heavens. He withheld Abraham from slaying his own son. And this was then a proof unto Abraham that it was a trial. For now I know that thou fearest me. In other words, that thou lovest me more than your own son. Oh, my heavens, what a wonderful grace did God give at this time unto Abraham. Abraham was strengthened in faith to do this, obedient unto God's command. Oh, some people think a Christian, he can operate faith himself. But the contrary is very evident, my hearers. All saints are taught that they cannot exercise one step of faith unless God gives them to do it. He has said, without me, ye can do nothing. And this they experience. If this Abraham experienced, had he been in a different mood, had he been in an unbelieving frame, he never would have been able to do this. But God strengthened his faith, gave him to overcome all obstacles, for that he came out as gold. He shone out brilliantly in this. But it was God, my heroes, that gave Abraham to do this. Oh, there are many characters in the Bible that God has helped at certain times. You take Joseph. This young man, he was tempted to a terrible sin. Now, had Joseph been in a fleshly mood, and had he been in an unbelieving frame, he probably would have fell before this temptation. But God gave unto him such a holy disposition of soul that he shunned it. He wouldn't do it for nothing. He wouldn't do it even if he had to be put into prison. Now David, he had the same temptation, and nothing like Joseph's. And he fell because he was not in a holy disposition of soul at that time. And he saw and he fell headlong into those sins. Where Joseph was kept from those sins. But this man Abraham, he had been also in an unbelieving frame. Two times I've been speaking to you how that he deceived the kings about his wife. But this time he was strengthened in faith. And he received his son back as if he was given to him from the dead. Surely he was almost gone, and now he received him back. For the Lord put his stamp upon this faith that Abraham exercised concerning this, what he had called him to do. And now we find him turning around and looking, and he sees, behold, a ram caught in the thicket. Oh, how wonderful was God in his providence in providing a ram for Abraham instead of offering up Isaac. Oh, my hearers, I'm thinking about the Lord Jesus Christ. He who spared not his own son, but gave him up for us all, how shall he not with him give us all things? God did not spare his dear son, but Isaac was spared. Now, this blessed Jesus could not be spared. He had to bear the weight and the burden and the wrath and the punishment due to sin. But Isaac was mercifully spared from being a burnt offering. And God provided this ram for him, and Abraham took this ram and offered him up as a burnt offering before God. The fulfillment of what he had said unto Isaac himself, God himself shall provide a lamb for a burnt offering. And now after they had done this, he called the name of this place Jehovah Jireh. In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. The Lord will provide. And here God provided in a wonderful way for Abraham so that he did not slay his son. And now he came down from the mount, just as he had said unto his servants, he came back with Isaac. And then we find that he went and he dwelt in Beersheba. And next we read of a providential trial that befell Abraham. For we find that Sarah, his wife, was 127 years of age, and Sarah died, and Abraham came to bury her. He bought a field in Machpelah of the sons of Hamor, and there he made a burying place for Sarah, and there he buried Sarah, his wife. Isaac lost his mother. Abraham lost his wife. My hearers, and they aren't very pleasant things to go through in life. But there are some that are listening to me, but they likewise have lost their mother. Some of you have lost your husband. Some of you have lost your wife, just like Abraham did. They are things that cut to the deep, my hearers. They hurt. And now for Sarah, it wasn't too bad for her to die. We may believe Sarah had grace, and that when she died in the faith of the promise that Christ would come in due time, and he would lay down his life for her and pay for her sins. She then, in the faith of Christ, entered into heaven above. She was then delivered from a sinful body and from all unbelief and from all trials and troubles, and she was taken home to be in glory above. Not too bad to die that way, is it, my hearers, huh? Have you ever considered how you're going to die someday? Death is certain. It does not make if we last as long as Sarah did. She lived to be 127. Not every one of us are going to live that long. And now, my hearers, when death comes, how shall it find us? Woe be unto that poor soul that is found outside of Christ. It would have been better then, the Bible says, that that person had never been born. Just think of that, my hearers. All that it may be a means in the hands of God's Spirit to be brought home to your heart. Where shall I go when I shall die? How shall I appear before this great God? Oh, my hearers, the death makes a separation, and that separation is felt in a family between a wife and a husband. It's felt between brothers and sisters who are united together in the bonds of flesh. And dying, my hearers, isn't too bad if we die with grace. But all to think, I have lost my wife, I have lost my husband. But have you ever felt that you have lost God? the loss of God brought home by the Spirit of God to a sinner's soul is much greater than any earthly loss that we can encounter in this life. Oh, we have lost God and Adam, our covenant head, and we are without him. And oh, what an awful thing if we do not feel that loss, that we are unconcerned about it. Oh, may God make you concerned, and may you have no rest until you may be reconciled with this God in this life, and that you may possess him as your God, as Sarah did, to whom she went when she passed away. And now we find Abraham. He is old and stricken in age. Abraham had been richly blessed by God. He had much earthly goods. And he became old, and he became stricken in age. He was thinking about death. And he was thinking about his son Isaac. He was about 40 years of age, Isaac. He was thinking that Isaac should have a wife, that it's about time Isaac got married. Because if he should happen to die, what would become of his son Isaac? And now he was living in the land of Canaan, and all around him these heathen people dwelt, and Abraham seeing how that these people lived, what heathens they were, and what sins they were prone to fall into. And Abraham desired not that his son should marry one of those Canaanites. He had a promise from God that God would make his seed, the seed of Isaac, more than the stars in multitude. And now he desired that Isaac would have a wife of his own kindred and of his own people. And thinking on this, he came to a resolution. And he called Eliezer, the oldest servant that he had, the steward of his house. It had been 60 years before that he had spoken about this man, that this would be the heir of everything that he had because he had no seed. Now this man was quite up in age, but he had been a faithful servant. And not only was he a faithful servant, but he was a God-fearing servant. You don't find many of them today. You have somebody working for you that fears God, esteem them. Treat them well, my hearers, because they are the apple of God's eye. And you may rest assured that God will bless you if you treat them well. This man then was highly esteemed by Abraham. He loved his servant, and he was a faithful man, and he called him to him, and he said unto him that he did not want him to take a wife of the daughters of the land for his son Isaac, but that he should go to his own land and to his own country, and that he should take a daughter from those people for his son Isaac. And now he says, put your hand under my thigh, he says, and swear before God that you will do as I am commanding you. And now this servant, he was willing to go to the land of Mesopotamia to seek a bride for Isaac. But he says, peradventure when I get there, he says, the woman won't want to go back with me. And then Abraham said unto him, the God who called me out of my country and out of my family, he will send his angel before thee, and he shall make thy way prosperous. What faith this man Abraham had concerning sending this servant to this country. He believed that God would prosper him and that he most certainly would come back with a wife for Isaac. My hearers, choosing a partner in life is a very important matter. How few acknowledge God in this way? This Abraham, He looked up unto God, and he prayed that God would give unto Isaac a good wife. He has said, acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I will direct thy paths. And in choosing a partner for life, it's very important that we choose one whom God does wish us to have, to acknowledge him. Another important feature is to choose one that is godly, that fears the Lord. And another feature is, if we are parents and we have children, then we are to guide them in this matter. And we are to use discretion and wisdom. We are to use our affections in this matter, for it is very important. Important to the parties concerned, important to the community in which they dwell, important to the posterity that shall flow forth from these two people being united in marriage. Oh, if you may acknowledge him, and it may be as the word of God says, he who receiveth a wife from the Lord receiveth a good matter, and you may have God's blessing upon your marriage. My hearers, how few of us have done this. Let's be honest. If I should ask you individually that are married, have you done that? Did you look up unto God before you got married? You probably would say no. And I have to say the same thing. Well, what was our concern? Flesh. What was our concern? To be away from our parents, maybe. To be free. To be our own boss. Oh, there are so many reasons why we get married. And not as Abraham sought a wife for Isaac. My time is gone, my hearers. It's 5 minutes past 3 o'clock. The Lord willing, we'll pick up this subject next week at this point. The Lord bless the feeble instruction I've been trying to give you from this portion of his word. That's all.